Well, Nebraska spring game underway tomorrow. You'll be able to hear that here on AM 590 ESPN Omaha. Full pregame coverage, postgame, the whole bit. Of course, as we bring you every bit of a Husker football action that we can starting tomorrow with the red-white spring game. But a school that not too far away that has never really done a traditional spring game. They've done some open practices. They've had their Kinnick Kids Day and whatnot. But over at the University of Iowa, Kirk Ferentz just never electing to go kind of the same traditional route like we see from Nebraska. Here to talk a little Hawkeye football as they are underway with their spring practices schedule, Scott Docterman of The Athletic. And Scott, has there ever been any real justification that Kirk has thrown out there for not having the traditional big open spring game, or is that just maybe not his cup of tea?
They've tried different things from time to time, but it's never really caught on, and it's never been a situation where, you know, some schools will draw teams or, you know, have honorary coaches, former players come in, and that's all kinds of fun. Iowa's just looked at it as another day of work. Mm-hmm. And so the fans kind of treat it as such. And you know, Iowa and Wisconsin are a lot more like that than, say, Iowa and Nebraska or Wisconsin and Nebraska, where you go to Wisconsin and there'll be 7,000, 5,000 people at a spring game.
Sure.
And kind of the same thing at Iowa. It's about the same deal. But this year they won't even have one. Because last year they had a torrential rainstorm that destroyed some of the new turf at Kinnick Stadium, and so they're having it replaced this spring. So it'll just be pretty much one public and the only public to media and family practice.
Scott, I know that throughout the spring, Iowa will put some of their assistant coaches up there at various times to talk to media and answer questions, and today noticed that it was Chris Doyle, their strength and conditioning coach, who last I checked, I believe, was the highest paid strength and conditioning coach in the country. And here in Nebraska land, we spent a ton of time talking about what Zach Duvall's doing, kind of the evolution of the strength and conditioning program. And I feel like in a lot of ways they want to get back to, you know, the way they were in the 90s. But I feel like in some subtle way, too, you know, that you can look at Iowa and what they do under Doyle, and that's sort of the benchmark for what goes on in college football anywhere, for my money. What did he have to say today when he got up there to talk to media members?
You know, there was a lot of discussion about what they do and how they do it. I mean, we've had those discussions in the past. So I think really the main line of questioning today had to deal with Marshall Yonda, who's been a long time, NFL Pro Bowler and all pro with the Baltimore Ravens. And every offseason he comes back to train at Iowa. And Iowa tells pretty much any of the 24 or so former Iowa players who come back to lift, they still go by the old way, what they did at Iowa in their workouts. They don't really, give them anything specific, on their own. They kind of come together with what Iowa's workouts are. And that's interesting for somebody, outside of it. And Chris Doyle said, well, that's kind of the way it is. And if they don't want to train like that, they don't have to. They don't have to come here. So they have a locker room for NFL players. And, it's really interesting over the years how many players come back to train, even if it's for a short time or for the whole off season. So that was part of it. And then, of course, breaking down Tristan Wirfs' hang clean record, which he beat that was Brandon Sheriff's a few years ago, 450 pounds four times. I mean, Sheriff did 433 three times, and that was a big deal. I mean, that was huge back 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But this is even more impressive considering Wirfs is only in his fourth semester at Iowa.
Well, I would assume if he has a good season, this could be potentially his final year in Iowa City, Scott. But, I mean, they've had, great offensive tackle after great offensive tackle, I feel like, at Iowa. How does he compare to some of those names, like a Riley Reiff or a Brandon Scherff that you just mentioned there, in your opinion?
Physically, he's more gifted than any of them. All of them had, the measurables. I mean, they were first-round picks. I mean, mm-hmm. Scherff was number five overall. Scherff was just kind of like, trying to fight a short school bus. He's just crushed you. This guy, he looks like nothing I've ever seen at this position. I mean, he's 6'5", a natural 320. I mean, he cut like 35 to 40 pounds to wrestle in high school senior year and won the state wrestling title. And so he's impressive, as is left tackle Alaric Jackson, who will also be a junior. He's 6'7", 320. This tandem is like nothing we've seen at Iowa, because a lot of times they have to make these tackles. They come at 240 pounds and leave at 300. And I apologize, I'm in a public setting here.
No, it's all good.
But these guys came in at 290, 300 pounds. And so it's been, it's pretty impressive to see what they've been able to do in a short period of time.
Yeah. What about the interior of the offensive line this year, Scott? What are they looking at the two guard spots and then at center?
Right now, the center is the most fascinating discussion, I think, of the bunch. They moved a defensive tackle who was only there last fall named Tyler Linderbaum, and he was an U.S. Army All-American. He's from Solon, Iowa, just outside of Iowa City, and he now looks to be the starter. He's a redshirt freshman. That'll be the first starting freshman at center at Iowa since 2006. And the most fascinating part is the rhetoric surrounding him. It's not that, oh, he's young, we've got to watch him, he's got some potential. I mean, Iowa usually po-boys these guys. It's exactly the opposite. It's about, he's a tempo changer. He does exactly what we want. This is exactly what we need. And, he's a very physical, tough guy. And as we talked about with Tristan Wirfs, they wrestled in high school and in the regional duels, which was before state, Tyler Linderbaum pinned Tristan Wirfs. So there's some, nastiness associated with Tyler Linderbaum that's uncommon. Size-wise, he's 6'2", 290, but he makes up for that with a lot of mean play to him.
Scott Docterman, our guest, talking Iowa Hawkeye football, part of The Athletic. And Scott, always enjoy carousing what you guys have on the site. I saw you had a mailbag out recently talking about the assistant coaches at Iowa. Obviously, Reese Morgan retired this offseason, but the question was posed to you, which assistant coach would be the biggest loss if they, someday were to go to another program? What did you respond with? I'm just out of curiosity.
Well, defensive coordinator Phil Parker is my choice, but it's mostly because of the way he is as a secondary coach. In the last 10 seasons, Iowa's had 11 first-team All-Big Ten picks, and they've had four out of the last seven Big Ten defensive backs of the year. And a lot of these guys are two-star guys. I mean, Micah Hyde came as a 168-pound option quarterback, and then he leaves as the Big Ten's defensive back of the year, and he's still playing with the Buffalo Bills, who was a Pro Bowler. And then you look at Josh Jackson and what he did. Amani Hooker, he went to Minnesota Gopher camps, and they told him they were still thinking about whether or not to offer him. Iowa offers him, and then he ends up becoming, kind of setting the tone for their defense. He moves to the kind of a new hybrid role, becomes Big Ten Player of the Year, and now he's leaving. So, and of course, there's Desmond King. Just the way he's able to develop in some cases, under the radar talent, I think he is probably the most difficult replacement, because if you don't have a good secondary coach in this day and age, you're in trouble. And I think Iowa has one of the best.
You mentioned all of those guys that have won that Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year award or Defensive Back of the Year award, Scott. When you look at this year's group, who would you project maybe to be the most likely to kind of be the flag bearer at that position going forward?
I think there's two that stand out for the most. One is junior cornerback Matt Hankins. And, he really came along. He missed five games last year with an injury. He broke his hand trying to block a punt against Wisconsin. And, he's really come along. And he started as a true freshman 2 years ago. I think he's got a chance to take that jump. And the other one's Geno Stone, who had four interceptions. And he was just too good to leave off the field. And part of the reason why it worked with Amani Hooker moving to kind of that nickel role was they inserted Geno Stone at safety, and he had four interceptions, which I think was tied with Hooker and Jake Gervais, who left for second in the Big Ten. Very smart player. He's from Pennsylvania. So I think those two will kind of be the glue, but I think they've got some other guys that can step in and play well at that position too.
I know that in the spring you guys don't get a huge opportunity to actually watch practice and see what's going on, kind of the Iowa way, keeping things a little bit more behind the curtain. But watching Nate Stanley last year, the quarterback spot in year two, I felt like going from year one to year two, there was just some maybe inconsistencies that developed from time to time. How important do you feel like it is for him to kind of set a good tone this spring going into the fall, kind of hoping for a big senior season?
He's in decent shape. I think last year, three quarters of his games were pretty good. But then there was the Penn State game where, it really cost him. I mean, he was atrocious in that game, and he would tell you that. It was not a good game at all for him. But, then he had six touchdowns against Indiana, and, You know, he had three against Mississippi State, who I thought was just an outstanding defense, and the draft will tell us that, too, in 2 weeks. So he's had some highs. It's just a matter of, can he bring up his level of consistency in the other games, the games where he's not hitting his marks? Can he fight through it? You know, the pitchers are in the same boat. You know, when they can all be great when they have their great stuff, but they don't always have their great stuff. In his case, he needs to be, you know, a 60% passer even on rough days. And if he can do that with this team and the players that he has around him, I think they could be, you know, a contender in the West, maybe even the favorite in the West. If not, it's going to be tough for them because they do have some tough road games. I think all five of them are challenging. You know, Nebraska at the end, obviously, but at Michigan, at Iowa State, at Wisconsin, and at Northwestern. So, you know, having a third-year starting quarterback who threw 26 touchdowns last year is tremendous for Iowa, but it's also he needs to just increase the consistency of his performance.
What can you tell us about the running back room this spring? It seems like they have a bunch of options, but are they still kind of looking for that one guy to emerge that they can really lean on next year?
You know, in the spring, they're not really going for that. In the spring, they're just trying to get everybody involved. And that was there were two areas that I thought Iowa lacked in. Otherwise, they had a championship profile last year, and one was running the ball, and two was punting. And in running the ball, it took them till the game 11 before they had somebody that reached 100 yards in a game. Now, they had a couple that reached 95 or whatever, but still, it just wasn't very consistent. They only had six explosive runs last year from their running backs, and that's 20-plus yards, whereas the year before, Akram Wadley had 12 by himself, and they were very explosive. So, you know, that's something that they needed to do and they needed to get. And you can look back at the games that they lost, and all of them were very close, and some of the differences were that their running game just didn't get going, just needed to help out its passing attack and never did. So, you know, this spring it's about – you know, seeing if anybody kind of emerges, making sure they're all better. And then once they get to fall, they've got six guys that they're going to be looking at, and it's going to be the best player plays. I mean, they got two true freshmen, you know, redshirt freshmen, and then three juniors. And I could see any of them finishing number one or any of them finishing number six in that rotation.
Scott, on the basketball front, real quick before we let you go, I know Joe Wieskamp, the true freshman, announced he's going to go through the NBA draft process at least and kind of see where he's at. I think just about everybody expects him to come back to school. But what about some of the other guys? Where do they stand in terms of guys deciding to test the waters? Your thoughts on whether they're going to go, come back? Where do they kind of stand at the moment?
Well, last week, you know, I was told that Tyler Cook was gone, and he was planning to turn pro and hire an agent. He has decided not to actually release that information at this point. I don't know if he wanted to make a big splash and just didn't happen or what, but he is not. But I expect that to happen anytime. Joe Wieskamp is going to get a full evaluation at that by the NBA scouts. I think he eventually could be an NBA player, and you know, I think he might be a year away, but you know. Some people still don't quite get the process that it's just a feeling out type process. It's not automatic. It's not like the NFL where you're declaring you're gone. So, you know, and then there's one other one that I would say, you know, has a chance of doing it again, and that's Isaiah Moss. And he didn't really get many looks last year, but, you know, this is just wrapping up his fourth year because he redshirted his first season on campus. So I could see him trying to go for the same thing, but you know, I would expect Wieskamp and Moss, if that's the case, to come back, and I think Tyler Cook is gone.
So it's Scott Docterman of The Athletic covering the Iowa Hawkeyes. Always love to give a plug for The Athletic, Scott. Fantastic stuff you do. Mitch Sherman, obviously a part of the family now, doing Nebraska stuff. But if you're a fan of sports at all, you guys have just about everything covered. And it sounds like maybe some podcasts on the way, some new stuff just around the corner. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what we just announced. And you know, I think we have 20 up, and that's, you know, comprising all the main sports. I think we have, you know, NFL, NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball. We have certain podcasts. So that's kind of the next venue and forum that we're going into. And of course, some of us still have our old-fashioned podcasts, even old relationships for those like I do. But, you know, it's been a great place to work, and I think we have great content just about every day, and we're thrilled to have Mitch Sherman as part of our athletic family.
Absolutely. Appreciate you jumping on today, sir. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks, Joe.